Welcome, Bulldog basketball fans, to an instant reaction version of the Drake Basketball Podcast, coming on the heels of the Bulldogs' 66-52 victory over the Northern Iowa Panthers. This marks 8 out of the last 10 games that Drake has taken from the in-state rivals, if you can still call it that, after, 8 of 10.
Well, I think for starters, it's good to know that the ownership of UNI has transferred swiftly from Darren DeBries to Coach McCollum, so we don't have to worry about that. They just transferred the deed over, and we're continuing to claim that this rivalry.
First and foremost, not like we can forget. I mean, a lot of the headlines around this game are obviously going to go to Bennett Sturts, as they should. 7 for 11 from the field, 2 for 3 from 3-point, 20 points on the game. Valley Player of the Year. What he's doing this season is unprecedented in a lot of ways. But the guy that I think a lot of people are also going to be talking about, and the guy that you and I certainly are going to be talking about today, is Cam Manyo.
Mm-hmm.
Goodness gracious, what a display he put on tonight. He had a couple of sequences in the second half that had me jumping in the air. One in particular, I remember he got a steal, took it the length of the court, brought the ball behind his back to avoid the defender and went up for the dunk, then went back on the other end and got a rejection. And it's just like, God, Cam, dude, that's the Cam that we have been looking for since Charleston. He was active on both ends. He was swatting shots like it was his business, hyper-aggressive, looking for his shot. Just a huge difference maker. And you had to feel sorry for Hornseth and the rest of the UNI bigs trying to match up with him, because they looked thoroughly outmatched. I know Panther fans are high on Loyola transfer Jacob Hudson, but he got embarrassed, finished with 1 point on the night. And for a 6'11 guy going up against Drake's less traditionally sized front line, not a great showing. ESPN even had a halftime feature on him, and they were talking about how he had trained yeah, with the MVC's, best big men of all time, which I assume they meant like Seth Tuttle. Which, A, if you think Seth Tuttle is the Valley's best big man of all time, or even in the conversation, your knowledge of Valley basketball is non-existent. But
he probably hasn't been the best big man in the Valley in the last 2 years. Like, Robbie Avila was probably more impactful, but whatever, we'll let it slide. I'm glad we didn't record I'm never glad that when we don't record a podcast, but I am glad that we didn't record one after Missouri State, because I was really frustrated with Cam. Like, that was probably Cam's worst game of the year. He just had like no energy, was not into the game, just was so hesitant on offense. And then against you and I, it was just night and day. And I don't know if it was a concerted effort from Coach McCollum and from Sturts, but Cam got 2 easy lay-ins to start the game right away. And I felt like that got him going in the right direction of like, okay, I'm confident. I scored the ball, and his energy on defense was incredible. But this is why we bring it up. Like, Cam has that potential. Like, he can jump out of the gym, he can recover. And on defense, like, his hands were everywhere, deflecting balls, going for blocks. And like you said, I mean, he just overwhelmed Jacob and Titan Anderson. When you look at Titan's line, it looks pretty good. 7 of 10, 16 points. But I thought Drake did a really good job on him. They forced 4 turnovers. They really limited him being able to get to the line and be aggressive. So yeah, I mean, Hudson and Anderson struggled. And I think for Drake and for Coach McCollum, I'm sure that was a point of emphasis for Cam. We're playing a team that plays with 2 traditional big guys, and they needed his size tonight. And he definitely came through in the 14-point victory.
Yeah. And just really happy for all of the Northwest Missouri State guys to get a play in this rivalry for the first time. As always, incredible atmosphere. I think it was a sellout. The athletics department made this game a stripe out, so you had a lot of alternating blue and white in there today. It's a far cry from our days as students when you'd have the upper bowl just filled with purple and chants of you and I raining down from the rafters as Mark Phelps paced the sideline in confusion. Whereas now you just have blue and white everywhere and the Bulldogs rolling to yet another perfunctory win over the Northern Iowa Panthers.
Yeah, you know, all kidding aside, with beating you and I now 8 of 10, you know, coming into it, I thought it was going to be a close game. I didn't know what to expect. There's similarities between how Drake plays and how you and I plays. So I didn't know if it was going to be like, man, like you and I is going to adapt well to our style because they have similarities, or if it was going to be like, we're kind of similar, but we're just better. Then it was the latter. I mean, I thought Drake had a really good performance, especially the first half. I felt they were just very methodical, very focused, didn't really allow you and I to do much, you know, defensively allowing 24 points and on offense, you know, a little bit lucky with some of the threes that went in. You know, shout out to Cale Combs hitting his first two threes of the year. That was big. You know, you probably don't expect Cale to hit a couple. And Isaiah hit one too, right? So 7 of 10 in the first half and then 10 threes in the game for Drake, which is just a huge number.
Yeah. And to Northern Iowa's credit, they played this game without 6'5 swingman Leon Bond the third. He suffered a torn patellar tendon and he averages, I believe, right around 10 points a game for them. And I believe he was going to get the defensive assignment against Bennett. So obviously that's a big piece of their rotation that's missing. He averages around 27 minutes a game for them. So they had to adapt, put some guys that maybe might not have seen quite as much action defending Bennett. In all actuality, probably a little overmatched against Bennett. So to be completely fair, they're playing a little bit shorthanded, but I can only feel so much pity with the amount of times that Drake has had to play down, you know, 2 to 3 to 4 starters against you and I during the DeVries years.
Yeah, and it's not only that they were shorthanded, it's that it was I believe it was the first game since he got injured, right? Or did he get injured? Yeah, first game since he got injured. So I think that's always a little bit hard. You know, I assume you and I will adjust and they'll figure out their rotations. But that first game, when you have a starter out like they did, you know, it just takes a little bit of time. But, you know, Drake took advantage of it. And, you know, Bennett was fantastic. Again, you and I had no answer for Bennett. 7 of 11, 20 points, 4 assists, just one turnover. Really, the only thing he didn't do well today was he was 4 of 8 from the free throw line. Other than that, pretty much throws another great game for Drake. And he is just so, what's so impressive about Bennett, you know, as I watch him more and more, he's almost more dangerous when you try to crowd him. You know, he has a way of using your own body against you. And he just is so crafty when he gets on in the lane. He does not allow defenders to hang on his hip. That's how he gets to the line. That's how he creates separation. And you and I, like I said, just didn't have an answer for Bennett. What did you see from our most likely future Missouri Valley Player of the Year?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, his body control is unparalleled. His ability to maintain direction as he initiates contact, drives through the lane, and finishes. Just time and time again, when Drake needs a bucket, he just navigates seemingly in slow motion at times, you know, because he never gets sped up, but he'll stop and go through the lane, loft something high off the glass and drop. And we talked about it a little bit. I'm just waiting for his 100% free throw shooting stroke to come back, because I don't know what's been going on from the charity stripe lately. Well, once the free throws come back, which I'm sure they will, he's set, because he's, you know, he's costing himself, you know, 25 points a game average as opposed to 20 points a game average.
Yeah, I mean, he struggled shooting it a little bit the last few games, but he'll get it back. And like you said, that points per game will go up slightly. The second half for Drake, I thought again they did a really good job responding to UNI's kind of mini runs that they had. I believe they never cut it down more than eight. Maybe it was six at one point in the second half, but I thought Abreu hit. He hit three threes and they were all very clutch. You know, one to close out the first half, one off a offensive rebound gets to the corner and kind of stops a UNI run, and then another one, end of the shot clock, kind of backbreaking three. So really only three baskets for Abreu, but three big ones. And like I said, Drake just did a good job of throwing different looks to Titan and to Hudson at times. And they like to use them kind of how they operate for their offense, and they were just kind of confusing them and getting into the passing lane. And one big thing that Drake did is not only did they force UNI into 14 turnovers, they actually had 10 steals on the night, and those turned into points quickly for Drake.
Yeah, the defense, as we've talked about in the past, Drake has a ridiculous stat that I've lost track of the actual number, but they've held a ridiculous number of their opponents to a season low in scoring. I'd be interested to see if they follow that trend tonight against UNI, but they did a great job against the Panthers regardless, scoring just 52 points on the night. But I can't get over how good Drake is at getting their hands into pockets. Like it's clearly something that McCollum preaches because it's too consistent across every player on the team to be something that is just done on an individual level. Consistently, you'll see when opponents have the ball in that triple threat position by their hip, Drake players are getting their hands into that pocket and reaching and slapping at the ball. And you saw Abreu get a couple steals off it tonight. Howard is great at it. He's got extremely active hands. Can't overstate how impactful he's been on the defensive end and offense. You know, we've talked about him ad nauseum in terms of the impact he's had off the bench since he's made his debut. But yeah, just great game. Always good to beat the purple and gold. Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and it's a good call out with Isaiah, because he again was really good. I mean, he's carved out such a good role for Drake. He brings energy, and like energy in every facet of the game. You know, getting to loose balls, you know, getting steals, finishing inside. He just seems to give Drake a little different look. So he's really come along, and like you said, you know, on the steals, it's intentional. You know, they're not just kind of mindless hacks to the ball. It seems like they're so coordinated on when you attack, right? When you're going for that swipe of the ball. And they did a great job. And to be honest, it was one of the most stress-free games for Drake. You know, they really were in control and controlled the tempo and ran what they wanted to run and didn't allow you and I back in the game, and just control their way into a 14-point win at the Knapp Center.
Yep. And so as the standings stack up now, Drake is in second at 9-2 behind Bradley, who is 9-1. But Bradley is currently down 80-63 with 4 minutes and 41 seconds left in the second against UIC. So we'll stay updated with that. By the time you hear this podcast, you'll already know what happened. So you're time traveling right now. Don't spoil it for us.
We might have to extend the podcast just so that we can give the live update
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
the podcast.
Also shout out to Indiana State for gutting it out and keeping the Bad News Bears from Springfield winless in Missouri Valley Conference play. It looks like they weren't going to be able to pull it off there for a little bit, but they dug deep and they pulled it out late, 72-67.
Yeah, Missouri State led probably for three quarters of that game. They were up 11 at the half. It looked like they were going to get their first conference win of the season, but Indiana State said, no, sir, we're going to send you to Conference USA with a winless MVC season. So, yeah, tough for the Bears. And it looks like who else is playing tonight? Still early in Belmont, Illinois State, Evansville and Murray State in a close one. That's your highlights around the Valley. Southern Illinois did beat Valpo on Tuesday night. They've now won 5 of 6, and that's Drake's next opponent.
Yeah. Before we get started on Southern Illinois, I just want to emphasize the importance of Missouri State going winless for us Bulldog fans. I believe that if they were to do so, it would remove the dubious honor of Kirk Kanasky's Drake Bulldogs being the last Missouri Valley Conference team to do so. Granted, the Bears are going to have 20 games instead of 18 because of the expanded conference play, but we got to be cheering them on, guys. All of us here at DBP, Eduardo, myself, the research department, we're all rooting hard for Missouri State to pull it off. You guys can do it. Come on, Kwanzo.
Oh, it'd be a terrific way to send them off. It'd be poetic, I think. And just to give another quick update, UIC is up 19 with 2.5. So I think we can call it, Tucker. I mean, I know we just played UNI, and we all know what can happen when you're up double digits with a minute left.
Wow. Low blow.
So maybe we shouldn't call it, but I think we're pretty safe in saying that Drake's going to wake up tied for first place in the Valley, obviously holding the tiebreaker over Bradley. And needed to be said, you never know. It's 19 points at what I hear is the most electric place in the Valley, Carver Arena. I mean, super hard place to play. I mean, Drake did win there the last two times we went there, but I hear it's a really tough place to play.
As long as UIC can mind their A's and M's. I mean, their P's and Q's.
I like it.
But no, Alex Caruso is thriving with the Thunder. Anyway, yeah, that obviously magnifies the importance of Drake's upcoming matchup with the Southern Illinois Salukis. As Eduardo mentioned, Southern Illinois started the season rough. They struggled greatly under new head coach Scott Nagy or Nagy. I never knew how to pronounce it, but he's a good head coach, and he's rallied the troops, and they've won 5 of their last 6. They beat Missouri State, Northern Iowa, Murray State. They lost at Murray State, and then they beat UIC and Valpo. So they haven't really been playing world beaters, but they did beat UNI 73-49 back when UNI still had Leon Bond, and obviously UIC is killing Bradley, and they beat UIC at UIC. Valpo's a tough team, so I expect Drake to have their hands full with them. They're led in points per game by Ali Diba, who, for those who follow Drake recruiting, came on an official visit to Drake this year in the offseason. The coaching staff did not end up pursuing him, from what I was told. I'm sure he'll be out to prove something as a result. So we'll have our hands full containing him.
Yeah, it's really hard to kind of give an opinion on Southern Illinois because they've really been two different teams this season. I mean, they got off to a horrible start in conference play. They looked like they were going to be sharing the basement with Missouri State, and they've turned it around. I mean, like you said, some good wins there, but really just taking care of business. I think their most impressive win was going into UIC and winning by 4 there. And just what they did to Northern Iowa. I mean, beating them by 24 is impressive. UNI is always going to compete. So They're playing really well. I think what stands out about them and should maybe make Drake fans a little bit nervous is they're definitely a guard heavy team. The strength of their team is with guards, not only with Ali Diva, but also with Kennard Davis Jr. And as we know, the game against UIC turned to be particularly difficult because they precisely had guards that could really drive it and score it on you. So hoping that we get a better defensive performance from Drake in that regard. But yeah, I mean, it's all about containing the guards against Southern Illinois.
Yeah, and I think this is a good challenge for Drake. They have to have heard some of the noise surrounding those losses to Murray State and UIC about their struggles to contain quick athletic guard play. This is a chance to step up and say, you know what, actually, this is not our Achilles heel. We're going to be just fine.
It would be good. I mean, when you look at some of the other good teams in the Valley, Bradley doesn't really have that. They don't have guys that just go downhill on you. Same with UNI. Like, that's just, it's not their style. UIC obviously plays that way. Southern Illinois has come on, so they're gonna drive it, and they're gonna try to push the tempo, and as it always is with Drake, we're always gonna control the pace to a certain extent, but I think that'll be a key thing to watch is can play your game, control the possession game, death by a thousand cuts, and don't let them get in the lane and get into the free throw line, because that's when you start getting into trouble. And it is going to be a big game. Drake's going to be tied for first, and then Saturday they go at Southern Illinois. Bradley will be at UNI. So again, really important that they continue to kind of solidify that number one spot, or at least the top two spots in the Valley. But Southern Illinois is going to be ready, obviously. I mean, this is going to be a big game for them. And they're gonna be out to really prove, like, hey, this 5 out of 6 streak is not just a flash in the pan. We're for real. We're playing the best team in the conference, and we want a big win at home.
Absolutely. If you want to be the best, you got to beat the best.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But no, I'm excited. It's this Valley season is going really fast, to be honest. I can't believe it's gonna be February, and we're already, 19-2 and 9-2 in conference play. So Southern Illinois will be a tough test on the road, and from there we get another road test at Murray State next week as well. So two big road games for Drake coming up before they come back home to Indiana State.
Can we just real quick touch on the fact that it's January and we have 19 wins?
Winning 20 games a year is contagious, I hear.
It's still wild to me. 19-2 in January and the heights that Drake basketball has reached.
Serious question though. Do you think Ben Jacobson thought he would coach long enough at UNI to see Drake be good?
That's a good question. I don't know that Ben Jacobson thinks about a whole lot outside of UNI basketball and fishing in Minnesota. So I don't know that he ever really considered Drake and the big city of Des Moines. but the real question is, do you think he'll be at UNI long enough to continue to see Drake be good?
Well, that's a question there. I mean, UNI obviously has a lot of loyalty towards him, but I think the fans are starting to get a little restless.
It's interesting. You read the message board, and the sentiment seems to be that they're tired of the direction that the program is going in, but they don't think they have the money to buy him out. Which, I mean, it's crazy because obviously at a mid-major, the concern is always that, a coach is gonna leave, and here you've got the guy who stayed, and now apparently has worn out his welcome.
The grass isn't always greener. I mean, I'll say that. I know that it hasn't been great for you and I the last few years, but man, if you're gonna get rid of Jacobson, you better have a good answer waiting in the wings.
But also, as you look at you and I, there's so much, they play so differently than the teams that made you and I good. Like when you think back to you and I's glory days, and obviously most of their success, they looked not exactly like Drake, but more similar to Drake in terms of limiting number of possessions, playing pack line defense, and just like very much controlling style of play. Now, I would say that's in large part their identity as a team seems to have disappeared.
I love how we get into these, autopsy reports of you and I, every 3 weeks or so. That seems to be a recurring theme of this podcast. But no, I agree. I mean, so say you get rid of Jacobson, what's your identity? How are you trying to build up that program would be my question. And I think that's tough. I think with, the portal and the one and done era and all that, I think you and I's advantage used to be, you get these guys that stay, you get these guys that you can develop. And like you said, that defensive identity, but again, it just seems like that's not strong enough anymore. They're not developing players the same way anymore. Some guys stay, some guys go. So yeah, I don't know. But you know what? That's for you and I to figure out, Tucker. Things are good in the city of Des Moines, as Drake claims sole possession, or along with Bradley, sorry, tied for first in the Valley.
Tied for first, but as you said, Drake also does have the tiebreaker since we won in Carver as it stands now. So,
Also, can we just pour a glass to Bradley's streak of beating Illinois teams? Because they were, for some reason, extremely proud of a random statistic that has no value, but that streak is no more. So,
oh, dude, I didn't even think of that. That
yeah.
is a great call.
Sorry, guys. Now Drake has an even longer streak against teams from Illinois. We're at two. So come catch up.
Oh my gosh, their fans are going to be in shambles.
No, it's a big win for UIC, and big loss in the standings for Bradley. I can't wait to play him at the Knapp. I think that would probably be the most electric weekend game for Drake at the Knapp Center this year.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Yeah, so it did just go official. 93-70 UIC is the final for those Bradley fans who talked trash about Drake losing a close one at UIC. Perhaps they'll talk slightly less trash now after getting thrashed at home to that same team.
You can also put a RIP to Duke Dean's Player of the Year candidacy. I think it wasn't there anymore, but tonight's 5-point masterful performance might be the last one.
Yeah, Duke, let's take a look here at Duke's final line. 5 points, two turnovers, two fouls, three assists. Not too shabby. Interesting Valley question, hypothetical for you. Will Duke Dean be the first preseason Larry Bird Player of the Year candidate to finish not on any postseason All Valley team?
It's in play, man. There's some really good players. Like, there's some guys that are really producing in the Valley right now. So I think it's definitely in play, especially when you consider the fact that arguably, Seg Montgomery has had a better year for them. Even Darius Hannah has had a more consistent year for them. So, yes, I think it's in play, and I think it's in play because he's not even like the clear-cut best player on the team anymore. So I think that they would probably get one guy, but putting two guys when you have guys from like UIC producing, when you have guys in UNI producing, guys at Drake producing, like, eventually you run out of spots. So I think we'll have to do some research on if that's when's the last time that's happened. And I bet you the last time that happened, it was probably like an injury or something,
It
because
hasn't been.
it would be rare to have a preseason player of the year not even make an all-conference team.
Yeah. I mean, because as it stands today, from Drake alone, you have Bennett Sturt's Player of the Year. Mitch Mascheri, I personally would put, if Drake wins the league, I would have him first team. He's the best shooter in the conference.
And a much better defender.
And an elite defender.
Yeah.
Just getting his hands in everywhere. I would imagine Cam, especially if he continues to play like he did tonight, will make some sort of all-conference team, second or third.
I hope he does, but it's only 15 guys. Wait, no, do they do six for the first team and then five and five? That's the stupid thing that they do?
Yeah, it's strange.
So sorry, it's 16 guys. So I think if Drake's gonna get a second guy, it's probably gonna be Mitch.
It's gonna be Mitch.
Yeah,
there's no probably about it. I'm just saying, do you think Cam can sneak on to third team?
No, I don't think so.
If he continues playing like he played tonight, when they win the league.
If he plays 10-10 the rest of the way, yes, he can make an all-conference team. I'll say that.
See, but that's all I'm saying.
I was also going to say that we had homework from our last podcast to bring one positive take from MVC Twitter. So I spent 9 seconds looking this up just so that our listeners did have a positive tweet. We said we were going to be glass half full, and we said we're going to find a positive take that we can agree on from Valley Twitter. So from MVC Hoops, he says, tonight, I've been saying this all year, I'll put UIC's backcourt up against anybody in the Valley, Henderson, Jackson, and Mason. Okay, yeah, I agree. There we go. Glass half full. We're being positive. We're pointing out a tweet that's not irrational in Valley Twitter.
Yeah, that's nice. I love the positivity. It's objectively nice. Shout out to whoever tweeted that.
But also, he seems to be a closet or not so closet Bradley fan. So it's in a way trying to prop up the team that they just lost to. But I digress. Glass half full. We're being positive.
Here is, all right, I just found one. Here is a Valley tweet. If you want to see Drake basketball stay at the top of the Missouri Valley Conference and continue to dominate Northern Iowa like it has been, then you need to donate to the Do Great Collective. Visit dogreatcollective.org. Yeah, I mean, I can't disagree with that at all. It's wildly accurate. A healthy collective is great for Drake. Ben McCollum needs it to succeed. It's a great cause. Helps us keep Bennett Sturts wearing Bulldog Blue, the first guy since Oscar Robertson to put up 30-10 in the MVC. So, as always, keep it in mind. I also tweeted out a link. The bookstore is officially selling NIL merch now, like Bennett's jersey. So if you get tired of rocking your white shirt and blue tie, you can now purchase a Bennett Sturts jersey, along with some jerseys from your other favorite Bulldogs. So go ahead and go check it out.
There you go. There you have it. Two positive tweets. So you got anything else?
I think that's it.
Let's go get the win against Southern Illinois then.
Yeah, man. Let's do it. First place. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs.